Good.
Well, for the past month or so, we have been looking at Christmas through the eyes of the Christmas carols. And a Christmas carol is a song about the birth of Jesus. And today we're looking at another of these Christmas carols. And this one is called Angels from the Realms of Glory. But I have to warn you, you will not find this Christmas carol on Beyoncé's latest Christmas album. I asked her why not, and she said she didn't think enough people knew it, that it wasn't familiar to them, but she might put it on the next Christmas album she does. But anyway, this is a Christmas carol that is known to people who have grown up in the church. So if you've grown up in the church, you probably know this Christmas carol. If you are new to Christianity, or if you don't like music that was written prior to the invention of electricity, you probably don't know this song. And that's why I'm here. I am your carol guide. But you can call me Carol for short. And I'm going to take you through this Christmas carol. And the reason you need a guide is because this Christmas carol takes us everywhere. It starts out by taking us into heaven, which it calls the realms of glory. And from there, it takes us to a field outside Bethlehem where shepherds were watching over their sheep. And from there, it takes us to ancient Persia, to where some wise guys spend all their time thinking very deep thoughts about life. And then it brings us back to Bethlehem once again, this time to the stable where the baby was born, where Jesus was born. And the last verse takes us into outer space, where we get to look down on all of God's creation. Now, a song like this would get you lost, but that's why I'm here. I am your carol guide. And you can call me Carol. Thank you for that. We need to look now at the first verse. How many of you are ready to sing? You did so well. Are you ready to sing again? Well, before we sing the first verse, let me tell you just a few things about this first verse. It begins, "Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth." What are angels? What are angels? Yeah. I'm married to one, but that's not what we're here to talk about today. My wife just lost consciousness. Somebody revive her. All right. No, we're talking about a different kind of angel. We're talking about the angels in the Bible. And angels have wings. So they're not normal, typical human beings, right? They are spiritual beings. They are supernatural beings. And they are mentioned more than 300 times in the Bible, and they were created to serve God. And their major purpose is to act as messengers. As a matter of fact, the Greek word angelos, which we translate as angel, means messenger. And where the angels really shine as messengers is in the Christmas story, because an angel named Gabriel appears to a priest named Zechariah and tells him that he and his wife is named Elizabeth, he says, you're going to have a baby and you're going to call him John, and he's going to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. And then 6 months later, that same angel, Gabriel, appears to a young girl, a young Jewish girl named Mary, and he tells her that out of all the women on earth, God has chosen her to be the mother of the Messiah, to be the one through whom God is going to bring his son into the world. And then, if anybody won the jackpot when it comes to angel visitations, it's Joseph. Joseph got 3 visits from the angels, and it's not hard to see why, because he thought he was engaged to a nice young lady who was very moral and very upright. But then he hears that she has become pregnant. She's going to have a baby. And the angels appear to tell Joseph, Mary was not unfaithful to you. The child she has inside her is none other than the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God. And God has placed the baby inside her that he might be born and be the Savior of all the world. And then that night, in the hills of Bethlehem, the angels appeared to the shepherds and told the shepherds that the Messiah had been born. And so the end of verse 1 says, "Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth." The angels were there to watch God create the universe. They saw God create the heavens and the earth, and they sang songs about it. But what they saw on this night in Bethlehem was far more amazing to them than the creation of the world, because what they saw was God enter into human life as a baby. And so, when it came time for the Messiah to be born, it wasn't revealed on CNN or MSNBC. It wasn't in the Atlanta Journal and Constitution. It wasn't in any newspaper. It wasn't on the radio. It was angels who said, "The Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, has been born." Guide without my pointer. All right. The second verse begins, "Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night." That's what shepherds did. They watched over their flocks by night because it was at night when predators would attack the sheep and kill them. I'm talking predators like the cheetah and the Arabian leopard and the lion, and the Syrian brown bear. These were all the enemies of the shepherd because they would attack the sheep. And so the shepherds were alert. They were awake at night to protect the sheep. And that's why they were there to hear the message of the angels, because the angels had a word for the shepherds. What word did they have? What message did they give? Well, it's right in the first line of the second verse, line 3, as a matter of fact, and the line says, "God with man is now residing." To reside means to live. And so the message the shepherds had was, God is now living with human beings. God is living with us. At the very beginning of history, we made a terrible decision. We decided to turn our backs on God. We decided that we did not need God, that we could be the God of our own life. And so we decided to live the way we wanted to live. But when we made that decision, it brought about lots of terrible things. And if you want to know what those terrible things are, all you have to do is read the newspaper or turn on the news. And you hear things about riots and terror and suicide and hatred and racism and hunger and disease and death. And ever since the beginning of the human race, after we made this terrible decision, human beings have been trying to fix things, but we have not been able to fix things. We haven't made anything perfect. Everything is still out of place. Everything is still out of order. And no matter who tries to fix it, it's ultimately a failure. No man, no woman can make human life right again. And that's why God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to live with us. God with man is now residing. That had never happened before. You know, God lived with the people of Israel in the Old Testament times, but God lived with them as God, which means they could not see him with human eyes, they could not hear him with human ears, they could not touch him with human hands. But then when Jesus came, for the first time, God lived with human beings as a human lives. Human eyes could see him, human hands could touch him, human ears could hear him. As God, Jesus could do miracles, but as man, as a human being, he could die and he could suffer in our place. That makes the birth of Jesus the most important news in all human history. And that's why the shepherds were told by the angels that they could go and witness this for themselves. For themselves, with their own eyes, they could go and see Jesus. After the angels say, God with us is now abiding, they say, yonder shines the infant light. Yonder is a direction word. It means over there. So the angels were telling the shepherds how they could go and find the baby, how they could go and see him. And so it was shepherds who first saw the baby when he was born. It was shepherds who got the first invitation to come and see the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God. Verse 3 says, sages, leave your contemplations. Sages are wise people, people who think about life, people who think deep thoughts, and contemplations are simply thoughts. So these guys were the great thinkers of their day. And unlike the shepherds, they were not Jews. They were from, the New Testament says, the East, which is probably most likely ancient Persia. And we know that's most likely true because Matthew calls them magi. And the word magi comes from the Persian language. So these guys were wise men living in Persia, and they studied the stars. That's what Persian magi did. And one night, they saw a very unusual star. They saw a star they had never seen before. And they believed that this star was a signal, that it was a sign that a very important person had been born. And so they left their land, and they journeyed, they followed the star, and it took them a long time to get there. The New Testament leads us to believe that it was probably about 2 years that they were journeying to make their way from ancient Persia to where they would find the baby. And that explains the second line of the verse we're getting ready to sing. Brighter visions beam afar. Afar means a long way. The wise men had to travel a long distance. And if you think about it, 2 years to go and 2 years to come back, 4 years they spent traveling on camels. Has anybody ever ridden on a camel? Anybody? It's not the most comfortable way to travel. Why would they travel for 4 years in that way on a camel in order to see this newborn child? Well, it's because of what the third line says. The third line says, seek the great desire of nations. this one whose birth the star told about would not just be the king of one nation. He would be one who would be desired, who would be loved, who would be sought after by the people of our all nations. And why did they go and see him? Because of the star. And the line in the song says, "Ye have seen his natal star." The word natal means birth. They realized when they saw the star that it signaled the birth of a very important person. And so they went to see this person, this child who was born. And the reason they went is because they knew this one person would be someone who would be sought after, who would be loved, who would be desired by people of all nations. By the way, those wise men, they really look wise, don't they? I understand they will be available after the service to answer any questions you have about life, about the stock market, about buying a new car, anything you want to ask them, they will be able to give you that information. Because how often do you have wise men right in your very midst? Well, all right, I have a few questions I want to ask them too. Verse 4 says, "Though an infant, now we view him." This is the time of year when people all around the world celebrate Christmas just like empty nest parents. Do you know what empty nest parents are? Empty nest parents are parents whose children have grown up and they've left the home. And what do we empty nest parents do every year at Christmas time? We get out the Christmas pictures. We look at all those pictures of the children when they were young and they were so excited about Christmas, and we saw the gleam of Christmas in their eyes, and that gleam got brighter and brighter and brighter the closer it got to Christmas. But what happens to children? Our children grew up. They're not kids anymore. And they're not as excited about Christmas morning as they used to be. They're excited about other things now. They're excited about the opposite sex, for one thing. They're excited about all sorts of things. But our children that were so in love with Christmas and so excited about Christmas, they've grown up, and the same thing happened to the baby who was born on Christmas Day. All over the world today, people are celebrating Christmas. This is the season, and they are celebrating and thinking of the babe in the manger. They're thinking of that young child, but the young child grew up. He grew up, and he became a man. And that's why this verse in our song says, "Though an infant, now we view him, he shall fill his father's throne." Jesus grew up, and he carried out the mission God gave him to do. And that mission was to take on himself all of our wrongs, all of our guilt, all of our shame, all of our selfishness, all of the horrible things that human beings can do. He took upon himself all of these things, and then he endured the punishment that justice demands for all those horrible things. And now, everyone who comes to him and who asks him can receive cleansing, forgiveness, a new life, new hope, purpose, and meaning. We can receive all of those things by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus came to this earth. That is why he was born. And that's why the third line of the verse of the song says, gather all the nations to him. Every knee shall then bow down. We bow down to him because he came and gave his life for us. And the Bible says, Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. At Christmas, we recall the Christ child, the baby in the manger, the shepherds, the wise men who came to him. And it's important, it's right that we do that. But we need to remember that the baby did not remain a baby. He grew up. He became a man. He lived. He died for us. He rose again to be our Savior. Takes us into space where we can look down on creation, all the universe God created. And everything and everyone in the universe is being asked to do something by this Christmas carol. All creation join in praising God the Father, Spirit, Son. God exists as three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons, but one God. Three in one. Now, that does not make sense. It does not make sense. But why would we think that the infinite, unlimited, almighty God who created the universe, why would we think that God should make sense to us? It does not make sense that God would make sense to us. It does not make sense that the holy and righteous God who created everything, the God who is without any limitation at all, would make sense to us, poor, finite, limited human beings. And so it doesn't make sense to us, but that's okay, because even though something doesn't make sense to us, that doesn't make it unreal. Gravity does not make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me at all, but I have a very strong feeling that gravity is real. And so God exists as three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And even if we don't understand that, even if we can't figure out how that can be, there is one thing we can do. We can do what this song asks us to do. We can worship. All creation join in praising God, the Father, Spirit, Son. Evermore your voice is raising to the eternal three in one. To celebrate Christmas is not only to worship the child who was born, but also the Father who sent him into this world, and the Holy Spirit who even now draws people to him.
So now this is your turn. You are all creation, so let's stand together and sing this last verse.
can be seated. Thank you. Now, what is this song all about? Well, it's not really about shepherds or wise men. It's not really about angels. It's not really about all the people all over the world who are celebrating Christmas. What this song is really about is what all these people, all these individuals are asking us to do. And they're asking us, as we just sang, to come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. Every verse ends with this invitation to come and worship. And this invitation has two parts. The first part is to come. Come to me. We cannot be changed the way only Jesus can change us unless we're willing to come to him. And Jesus said in Matthew 11, 18, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Jesus can give us rest. He can shoulder our burdens. He can help us to carry those burdens. He can give us meaning and purpose. He can bring joy to our life. But he can't do anything for us unless we're willing to come to him. Unless we're willing to speak to him, to call out to him. But there's a second part to the invitation. We're invited to come, and we're also invited to join with the shepherds and the wise men and the angels and believers all over the world and worship. Come and worship. But what is worship? Well, worship is very simple. Worship is recognizing who God is. It's recognizing how wonderful he is. It's recognizing how filled with love he is. It's recognizing how great he is. Now, there are some people who think it's strange that God wants us to come and worship him. Is God really so proud and vain and arrogant and self-centered that he can't stand it if people don't worship him? Is he really motivated by pride and wanting everyone to come and worship him? No. We need to understand what worship is all about. We can only worship God when we begin to know something about him. We can only worship God when we come to know what the Bible says about him, when we come to experience in our life who he is for us. And so this invitation to come and worship is an invitation to relationship. He's inviting us to come and know him, to come and learn about him, to come and know him so well so that it's easy for us to praise and worship him. Jesus came to this earth to show us God and to show us how much God loves us by dying in our place. He loves us. And when we know him, we will love him. And when we love him, we will worship him. And that's what we're being invited to do by this song. Come and worship. That's what the song is inviting us to do. And that, by the way, is what Christmas is all about. Coming and worshiping the one who was born. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. And to do that, we need to know him. And that's the invitation to you today. You can enter into a relationship with God. You can know him through his Son, who was born on this earth more than 2,000 years ago, who gave his life for you and for me. You can come and worship because you can come and know him. And he is available to you today to have a real relationship with so that your life will be changed. And that's the invitation. Come and worship. Come and worship. Come and worship Christ, the newborn King.
Let's stand together. We are going to sing our final song of this morning. O come, all you faithful. O come, let us adore him. Adore is another wonderful word for worship. And if it is your intent and your desire to come and be to know Jesus today in a whole new way, we do have some people who are willing to pray with you after the service. Paul and Nancy will be available. We'd love for you to take that opportunity. But let's stand together now and sing, "Oh Come, Let Us Adore Him."
Of our fun family Christmas, and we're delighted to have you here, and we welcome you back anytime. And before people come up to mob the wise men, I just want to make one little announcement. Some of you have cards back in the mailbox. Please pick up those cards before you leave. And now, let's end our service with prayer. May God the Father shower his love upon you. And may God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, fill you with his grace. And may the Holy Spirit of God surround you with his presence throughout this Christmas season and remind you that the light has come, life has come, and that life, that light, is meant for you. Amen.